You can feel it in the room. It's like, what's going to happen? I can't see your face too well. Some of you, I can't see at all. It's just like, what's going to happen? What am I going to say? You might be laughing right now. I'd have no idea. So shake your shoulders a little bit, everyone. No, just Kathy. Okay. That's okay. Let's get things rolling this morning. We are doing Advent, and if you're unfamiliar with that, it's a Latin word, means coming. Basically, we're preparing to understand Christ's coming. The reason we celebrate Advent in our church is because we, much like Charlie Brown, much like you, have experienced the frustration how this whole season comes and goes, and it can be a train wreck, it can be all sorts of things, and you unwrap, you know, Christmas presents, paper, where dad gets the big trash bag and stuffs it, and it's constantly like, give me your paper. Maybe that's just at my house. Don't throw away the boxes, we'll reuse them. There's this big tension, and then all of a sudden it's over, and 2 weeks later the things aren't played with, and 2 years later it's sold in the garage sale, and you repeat it every year, and then when you die it's all stuff of garage sale anyway, and so bummer, right? And so it's like, why do we do this? What a weird holiday. It's the most wonderful time of the year. My cynicism's coming out a little bit. I get a little cynical. I'm a millennial. That's what we do. And so you get tense about this, and we want to celebrate Advent and say, hold on, there's something meaningful here, and we are going to declare it. We are going to declare and proclaim King Jesus because there's something eternal here. There is a gift that you can unwrap that lasts for eternity, but it's not the stuff of future garage sales, right? There's something valuable here. And so that's why we celebrate Advent. We talked about hope last week, and this week we're going to be talking about peace. We light a candle every week, hope, peace, joy, love. Some people include faith, right? And we talk about the different characters of the story. And this is a weird story. Like, let's not forget the strangeness of the fact that God, in some way, was born through a virgin. And if you've ever seen the birth canal or watched the awkward movie in middle school or actually had a woman you've been with that gives birth, it's a weird thing. And to think through God doing that, this is an absurd story. And we talk about it as if it's this silent night. That is, I can't stand that Christmas song. It's a huge, weird, awkward night. God was born. Come on. And so then we talk, well, let's talk about peace. Let's understand that this story is strange. And thank God it's strange, because we're in a strange time, because you're looking at me wearing a mask, some of you. Some of you are at home. Some of you don't even know what to do. Do I take the mask off? Do I leave it on? Do I have COVID? Does someone else have COVID? Is this year ever going to get better? 2021's coming, so it's all going to be all right. Actually, it's not, because it's just going to be the same old stuff in 2020, just in that Jan-Feb time where it never ends, January and February, right? You can't hunt. It's too cold to do anything. We might have to cancel church because of snow. It's a weird time. Weird story. I'm thankful that we get to celebrate it today, because we need to talk about peace. That's what we need to talk about. So, forget everything that was written under intro in my notes, because we just went off the cuff for a while there. We're going to read Luke 2, 8 through 14, because I have this personal tension with having long intros without ever reading scripture. If you're a shepherd in our church, you know that. You'll hear David say things like, well, we had 8 minutes before we read scripture. Like, oh, dang it. So we're going to read scripture like 4 minutes in, so that we're not getting too far in my excited ideas here. Listen, we're going to stop and pray first, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to open to Luke 2. If you're at home, you can pull it up on a device. If you're in here, I don't care what you do, as long as we're actually in the Word of God, because we say this every week, and it's so important. My words will come and go. I can get really excited. I can say something really witty that you might want to Facebook, or you chuckle at, or shake your shoulders at, or whatever, but it's all going to pass away. It's no more valuable than that garage sale stuff we're talking about. It comes and goes, right? But the Word of the Lord stands forever. And so if we're not reading this, if we're not worshiping God through His Word, then we're wasting our time. You might as well click off and go to another feed. And so we're getting out the Word of God. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ, and we're going to worship the gospel, Jesus, King on the throne. That's what we're going to do. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time that we get to gather. Thank you that we get to gather. Man, it's so beautiful to be gathering, knowing that there's people watching from home that are joining with us. There's people watching in another room joining with us, that we are one. And we're together. Even if we're a few seconds off because of a live feed, we're still one together, because you transcend time and space. We know that because you came down to live amongst us. You gave up everything to have a relationship with us, to bring peace, to make things right for your glory. I pray that you'd help us understand that today, that it wouldn't be about my words, it wouldn't be about how long we're sitting here, it wouldn't be about the cleverness of discussion questions, that it would be about you, God, that we would bring you glory. Your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Not David's, not anyone in this room, but you. This would be about you, Father. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you for your love for us. Amen. My favorite version of these verses being read is done by a character named Linus who carries a blanket, but he's not here today, so I'm going to read it. But these are verses in Luke 2. If you've got one of these black Bibles around you, it's page 805. We're going to read it. We're going to start in verse 8. If you know the story, if you've got a nativity set, it's got shepherds in it, right? They're kind of the scalawags of the Bible. We'll talk about shepherds next week. But you're wondering, why are shepherds here? Is it because, you know, the Bible has a lot of sheep in it and it just makes sense for nativity? Here's why they're here. Here's what happens, right? Luke 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. This is what happens when angels appear in the Bible. You get afraid, because it's terrifying. We don't understand glory. It freaks us out. We think we do. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But true glory brings fear, because we can't handle it. We don't get it. So they're afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger." And suddenly, here we go, here's where it gets great. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Everyone say, "Glory to God in the highest." Glory. Say it like you mean it. Glory. Glory to God in the highest. Yeah, so that's it. That's the story for the day. Angels. We're going to talk about angels. There's a lot to say about angels, right? And I'm going to try not to go too off the cuff here. Angels appear in the Bible. Weird things happen. It gets really exciting. These angels appear. They're these great celestial beings with all this power. And they say, "Hey, I've got good news for you. It's going to make you pumped. It's going to give you joy," right? But then we're going to talk about that next week more about the shepherds. But then you get this thing where it's like the heavens open up and there's a multitude of heavenly hosts. And the other times in Scripture this is talked about, like Revelations 5 and other times heavenly hosts, multitudes are mentioned, then you also get phrases like myriads upon myriads or thousands upon thousands. Myriads is one of those words that you never know if you're pronouncing correctly. And so if you're sitting in your seat chuckling because I just mispronounced it, it's a hard word. You try to pronounce it. Try to spell it. It's tricky. But you have myriads and myriads of angels and thousands. The heavens open up and they're all here. And what are they saying? Are they saying, "Boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka"? You know, what are they saying? They could say anything. They could say, "Be afraid, tiny humans." They could say, "Kaboom." They could say, "Hey, believe in Jesus, you big selfish pigs. You've screwed this whole thing up. We've been watching you blow up this junk for eternity. Fix it. Jesus is here." That's what they could say. And instead, they say, "No. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." So the angels say, "Peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Glory to God is what they start by saying. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about the two most important words that they throw out. They throw out glory and peace, right? Peace candle, we'll get there, but we got to talk about glory first because it's interesting that that's what the angels start with. In fact, angels are all about that. Glory to God in the highest. Holy, holy, holy. Glory, glory, glory. That's their thing. They point to God because that's what they're created to do. Spoiler alert, everything was created to point to glory of God. Everything. And we have a glory problem. We keep messing it up. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little obsessed with glory, and maybe you've noticed that you're obsessed with it as well. In the Bible, the word glory has a couple different meanings. The Greek word, it kind of tends to point towards, I think it's doxa. It points to like honor, fame, something that you do that people affirm, and then they have a response of praise, of worship. That's kind of the glory word in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, kabod, the Hebrew word, it means weight, heaviness. And we want that. We want glory and we want peace. We want to decide what's right. We want to decide what's weighty and valuable. We want to decide what's good. We want to have an opinion. That was the original Greek idea, by the way, is having an opinion towards something. We want to decide that. Our opinion, David's opinion. We point towards that. Let's bring it down. Let's give a real practical analogy because we want glory and peace, right? Like, I'm sure someone in this room is thinking, "Man, there's an area in my life in which I'd like to be noticed and have some sort of accolades and honor and high five given to me." Glory. You want that somewhere in your life. No one here is thinking, "Don't give me any glory." Even the most humble of us would like someone to acknowledge that we're humble, right? Come on. And we all want peace. There's no one sitting here that says, no, actually, everything's pretty peaceful in my life. Looking around, this is fine. Things are good. Nah, come on. Look at the world around us. You want peace, right? Here's a real practical example. I love inflatables. Just let that linger. I love them. And my wife hates inflatables. I would say inflatables are the greatest gift to yards and lawn and Christmas decor in the last century. Since the invention of the bulb, these things are just the best. The variety. We went to 4 stores within a 2-hour period the other night shopping for a new one, and my wife begrudgingly hated and vetoed almost all of them. There was a 10-foot snowman head that literally looked like someone decapitated a monstrous snowman, and it was just his head. You can buy it at Lowe's for $110, and I need it. And my wife was like, we will have no decapitated snowman head in our yard. We will have the Joy Snowman. That is where we're at. And so we have the Joy Snowman, not the decapitated head snowman. I love these things. The thing is, I want them to bring glory and peace because I want what I want. I'm David Newton, right? And so I want these things to have some sort of glory for my yard. People to drive by. My wife said, side note, someone stopped who was walking on a road. They stopped and took a picture of our snowman in the last 48 hours. Glory! I want that! Y'all are thinking right now, I got to see this yard full of inflatables. I got inflatables my parents gave me. You can't even buy on the market anymore. It's a little hot cocoa with mouses. It's amazing. Stop talking about inflatables. Your time's running out. Listen. I love these. I want the glory for them, and I want peace, but I can't. I can't have both. In fact, I can't have either, because all the glory I get for inflatables is absolutely stupid. And all of you sitting there who recognize my wife as being right and think inflatables are tacky, you're already like, you've spent half of this message talking about inflatables, and they're ridiculous, right? I'm just going to keep talking about them, because I love them. The glory means nothing. Your laughter about my love for glory, it means nothing. We'll all forget about it. They'll all get stuffed in a box, and I'll forget about them until next year when I want to buy another one, and then we have lack of peace in my house because we argue about it. We legit argue about this. Marriage, think about your most ridiculous marriage argument. My wife and I are arguing about inflatables and how many I'm allowed to have in the yard and whether or not it's meaningful to me or meaningful to her and how we're sucking each other full of Christmas joy. What are all these rude things you say to each other, right? Over inflatables. I want glory from this stupid, meaningless thing. I want it my way. I want people to think it's exciting. I want to think it's awesome. And I want peace from everyone looking at our inflatables and thinking, what a peaceful house. They're a joy house full of hot cocoa and inflatable Christmas Santa Claus thingies, right? And it'll never happen because my wife is never going to bring peace over it. Never. Never will she bring peace over it. And because it's stupid. And so if I try to seek glory and peace through all of my passionate pursuit of inflatable desires, which is not a phrase you expected to hear at church this morning, passionate pursuit of inflatable desires. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Memorial. We say weird things and Jesus is Lord. Amen? Nope, just me. Okay, so the point is I want those things. Now, circle back around. Angels, they say glory. They talk about God's glory. That's the first thing they talk about. All of us have a glory problem. I have it. I'm stupid with inflatables. You have it. You're ridiculous with something else. If you don't know, ask your spouse, ask your close friends. They'll be the first to tell you what you're ridiculous about. And in case you think glory is just this thing that kings or presidents or selfish jerks pursue, all of us want glory. The root of the word of glory is that we have an opinion that we think is right. We have something that's valuable or weighty that we think is most important. And you don't have to call it glory if you think that's a Bible word. You can call it something else. You can call it personal convictions. You can call it values. You can call it passions or desires, ambitions. It's all the same idea in the Bible. You want glory, and you can't hold it because all the things you're trying to get glory in are shadows. They're shadow glories. They're meant to reflect something else. And when you worship a shadow, you're a fool. If I married my wife's shadow, if I tried to kiss my wife's shadow, if I tried to procreate with my, it would be a bad choice because that's ridiculous. You don't love shadows. I can't tell if y'all are laughing or not. This could get real weird. It's a strange thing because it's a shadow. God created you to point glory to Him. Originally, God created the whole world, and He said, it's good. And He created it to have perfect union with it. And everything pointed back to Him and His goodness. Not because He's a power-hungry, whiny authority that says, oh, worship me, I need all the worship. No, because He knows what is good, and He is good. And if you think you know something better, figure it out. Tell me what's better than the Bible and the Lord. Tell me what's better than love and sacrifice. Tell me. You can't, because we know these things are true, and God is the objective source of those things. And he says, this is the way it is. I'm glory, point everything to me. And we say, no. The serpent told Eve, no, you could have knowledge of good and evil. You can be like God. And that's the whisper that goes through all of our heads every day. You could be like God. Your values, your career, your family, your parenting, your life, that's what's most important. You can be like God. And then all of a sudden we take these shadow glories and we take them for ourselves. And we give away glory to other things as if we have that power. You cannot possess glory. I cannot possess glory. I try so hard. I want to be the best. I want to be awesome. And it tears me apart because I can't hold it. There'll always be someone else, something else. There'll always be someone better born into your family. Always. You're not the best in your family. Someone else will come along. There'll always be a better leader. There'll always be a better celebrity. I made a list here of different celebrities. Let's look at them. We've got Hercules, Caesar, Martin Luther, George Washington, Malcolm X, Mother Teresa, Muhammad Ali, Theodore Roosevelt, Tom Brady. This is a weird list. Bruce Lee, Steve Jobs, Obama, John Wayne, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Arnold Schwarzenegger, Billy Graham, George Bush, Michael Jackson, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, Kanye West, Joyce Meyer, Meryl Streep, Elvis Presley, and Oprah. They will all die or have died, and they haven't saved you. Their glory's gone. Who cares? And Jesus is still on the throne. All these people, all these things, all the things they created, all the good things they've done, they still haven't brought peace. We still have COVID-19. We still have people dying of cancer. You still have work problems. You still have to homeschool your kids in ways that make you pull your hair out. You still have people at school that act like jerks and make you hate being in high school or middle school or whatever. None of these things have fixed it. We don't have peace because we have a glory problem. Listen, true peace is found when we stop fighting for glory. Remember that. True peace is found when we stop fighting for glory. And maybe you don't believe that. But I want to ask you this. When is the last time you've been hurt by someone who is fighting for themselves to say, I'm the most important. I want what I want. It should be about me. When's the last time you hurt someone because you've been thinking it's about me. I want what I want. This is the nature of apologies. You apologize to someone you love and you say, I'm sorry. I was acting like a clown. I was acting like a jerk. I was being selfish. That's why we apologize. Have you ever apologized to someone? Yeah, you get this. We want to hold glory, but we can't possess it. All the glory, honor, fame, acceptance, accolades, good jobs, high fives, all of it that you want to obtain, it's not real. You can't hold it because it's not yours. It belongs to God. And so when the angels appear, they declare the most primary, simple, basic, powerful thought of the entire scriptures. Glory to God in the highest. If every one of you, if myself, would take every part of my life and say, glory to God in the highest. If I were to evaluate everything in my life towards how is it going Godward? How is it pointing towards God? How does my job, my marriage, my parenting, my pastoring, my business that I own, everything in my life that I say is important, how is it going back to God? And this doesn't mean this cheesy thing where you put hashtag blessed on everything you do. This means you acknowledge that if I have a good job, it's because God has given me a good job and I'm going to thank the Lord for it instead of holding it for myself. If I have money in my bank account, I'm not going to hold it for myself and worry and fear and say, it's my money, it's my possession, it's my time, but I'm going to give it away because I acknowledge, I worship the God who has all glory, the God who has all money, who has all fame. It all comes from him. I don't hold any of it. It's a constant theme we circulate in our church. If we could just open our hands and recognize it's okay to give to the church because God is going to take care of you. It's okay to give of your time because God has all time. He'll take care of you. It's okay to be loving and sacrificial because God is love. He'll take care of you. But as soon as we get scarce, we say, it's mine, my glory. I want it for myself. It circulates around me. Then we create problems. Do you know people who live this way who have peace? Do you have peace? It's because we have a glory problem. We have a glory problem because we're constantly trying to hold something of ours that's not ours. It's going to fall apart. If we want true peace, we have to stop fighting for glory. sin is living for my glory instead of God's glory. It's living my life my way for me instead of living God's way for God. It's the nature of sin. Every sinful problem you have, it's because you're living your life for you instead of the life God's given you for God. We have a glory problem. Angels appear, they say glory to God in the highest. When you realize that everything's about God, you find the peace that you're looking for, because then it's not on you. It's not on you to bring peace to your troubled, screwed up family. It's not on you to fix your job situation. It is on me, David. I'm in charge. I've got to fix it. My family will all go to prison if I don't speak into their life. Maybe they will. But have you fixed it yet? What one thing have you done that holds up 100% on you? And when you die, who's taking care of it? What if you had peace that came from Jesus Christ that said, you know what? I'm going to point everything towards God, and I'm going to trust him because he says all authority is in him. And he came down to live amongst us to teach us how to live. He stooped down to show us love and grace. He died for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be forgiven of this rebellion, this sin, this death, so that when we believe in him, we're made right with God. We have peace with him, which is what the angels say. Peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. Peace on earth. We all want peace. There are three kinds of peace you want. Three kinds, and you're circling. I'm gonna say this out loud, and you're automatically going to be like, oh, yeah, I got that. You want peace with God, and maybe that's not just like, oh, I need to go to church and read the Bible. No, you just want to have this eternal peace that you're not biffing every part of your life. Some sort of ethereal, spiritual peace. You want peace with God. You want peace with yourself. You want to look in the mirror in the morning with your shirt off and not think that you're a chubby buffoon who needs to lift weights more, who really keeps screwing everything up, who needs to be kinder to people. You want peace with yourself, and then you want peace with others. You want your family to quit thinking you're a jerk. You want all the people at work to like you. You want the people at school to think you're cool and give you high fives. You want to catch the winning touchdown. You want people to like you. Those are the three kinds of peace we want. Everything in your life revolves around that peace, and you're doing everything you can to fight for it. Everything. Because you believe you know what true peace is. And now we get back to a glory problem. Here's where it gets real for me. This week has been really hard for me. And there's a lot of things about it that I've been saying to myself. Here's internal messages that go through David's heart this week. You have got to be a better brother to your sister. You better text her. You better call her. You have got to figure out how to love your parents better while they're in the hospital and have COVID. So you better figure out a way to get an antibody test to get down to Springfield. You've got to be a better spouse or a husband to your spouse. So you've got to stop being a jerk and yelling at her when you get mad. Quit buying inflatables. You've got to be better. You've got to do your work better. Balance it. Do all the work here and do all the church stuff here and keep juggling and quit screwing it up, David. You've got to be better. Spend more time. Stay up late. Get it done. But also make sure you go on a date and make sure you sacrifice working out so you're spending time with your family. But you better work out because you're still chubby and you can't deadlift enough. All these things go through my head. Be better. Do more. Try harder. Do you hear it? David, David, David. David's glory. If I do all those things and you think I'm an awesome pastor, who gets glory? David. If my wife says this is the best husband in the room, let me tell you all about my husband. Who gets glory? David. If my parents say you've never had a son like I have, let me tell you all about my son. Who gets glory? David. Can I hold that? No, because I'm going to screw it up next week. I'm going to screw it up today. Then I got to fight for it again. It's a never-ending cycle because it's not mine to hold, and I have no peace. You only find true peace when you quit fighting for glory that's not yours. If you want peace with yourself, if you want peace with God, if you want peace with others, you've got to acknowledge that it's not on you. Here's what Scripture says. Romans 5, chapter 1. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It starts with a therefore. I don't have time to explain all of Romans to you, but basically Paul spends most of the first chunk of Romans saying, hey, you think that you've worked this out yourself? You're not. You're a slobbering slob. You've messed it all up. You're a sinner. Whether you're a Jew or Greek, you've biffed it all. You got no hope. And then he says, but you have been justified by your faith. Not by what you've done, not because you attended church today, not because you wore a mask in the supermarket, not because you've got the shiniest shoes in the room, not because you own a business or you've been the best father this week or because you've been the best son. You are justified by your faith through all the hard things and good works you've done. No, through Jesus Christ. That's why you have peace. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you finding peace through Jesus Christ, or are you fighting for your own glory? we have a glory problem. The constant symptom we see is we're not at peace. But that's not the root cause. And the treatment isn't being better. Treatment is acknowledging that we need Jesus Christ. That's why the angels appeared and they said, glory to God in the highest, because only God can hold glory. And on earth, peace to those whom he's well pleased. You want to be pleased? You want God to be pleased with you? You can't do it yourself. You're only justified through Jesus Christ. And so, what do we do with that? How do we find this peace? How do we shift glory? If you're an individual, you're watching at home, I want you to ask this question this week. Take anything you're doing and just ask why. Why do I do this? What's my motivation? If your motivation, your desire is to point towards King Jesus, to point towards the glory of God, not just by typing hashtag blessed, but acknowledging and thanking God and worshiping him for what he's given you. If your motivation is to give glory to God, then I guarantee you, you're going to find more peace. Because then it's not about you. But if your motivation for whatever it is, your hobbies, your leisure activity, your parenting, your spousal stuff, your employment, your being a boss, if your motivation is somehow for you, it's all about me, then you got to keep fighting. You got to keep working. Good luck. You'll die. You're probably not going to be as awesome as Muhammad Ali, and you'll pass away, and you'll be barely remembered as well. Certainly less than Muhammad Ali, because no one's painted an awesome painting of you yet. Right? Tempted to talk a lot about Muhammad Ali, but you don't care. He was a really good boxer, though. Forget about it. Glory to God in highest, on earth peace among those whom he is well pleased. This week, ask yourself, why? Why am I doing this? Church? Same thing. Are we pointing all things to God? We're not free here just because we're the church. We're the church. No. We do a lot of things for ourselves. All through history, the church has done a ton of things just for us. Religiosity has killed a lot greater people than us, and it'll ruin us too. If we can't answer exactly what we're doing and how it points to the glory of God and King Jesus, if all we're doing doesn't point to these verses up on this wall, then it's about us, it's not about God. And we'll come and go like a lot better churches than we've been. Just the way it is. But if we point glory to God, then we have hope, then we have peace. If you want to find peace this week, figure out your glory problem, figure out how you're pursuing King Jesus. Church, we're supposed to be bearers of this peace. If you're here this morning, if you're watching, that's what we want to be offering you. And we can't offer it to you by saying, we're going to fix all your problems. We'll buy the stuff you need. We'll give you hugs. We'll give you cures for diseases. I can't promise those things. I can't promise you your life's going to be better this week because you heard me preach and we read the Bible together. I can't promise that. What I can promise is that Jesus says he'll bring you peace. And Jesus says he's with you always. And if you relate to the things I'm saying, where you've tried so hard this week to be awesome, you've put all the glory on you and it's stunk. It's made your week terrible. Next week's going to be the same for you. What changes that? Fix your glory problem. Decide to say, glory goes to God. Glory to God in the highest. May that be your mantra this week, whatever you're doing. Start your work day before you open your emails, before you start up the truck, whatever you do for work, and say to yourself out loud, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And ask yourself, how am I finding peace in Jesus? I guarantee you they'll relate to each other. Where your glory is, you'll find peace. And you ain't finding peace in yourself. That's not working out. Or Muhammad Ali, or Mother Teresa, or any of these other things. Or the government, or wearing a mask. These things aren't bringing us peace. They're good things, don't get me wrong. And the Bible says God's given us all good things for his enjoyment, for his glory, for our pleasure, for his glory. And so we want to do those things. Don't hear me say not do those things. I'm just saying the reason we're not finding peace is because we're fighting for glory. Stop fighting for glory this week. We're going to move into a time of response. Whether you're in this room, in another room, whether you're at home, you have several ways you can respond. You can respond digitally. You can go to our Connect page and fill out a form for us to pray with you. You can come forward and pray at the stage. You could find someone to pray with you as you feel comfortable. But at the very least, I want you to sit in your seat right now. And whatever God's laid on your heart, ask why. Why do I do this? Where is my glory problem? And how do I point these things towards King Jesus? Why do I not have peace? And how do I find peace in Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, he's giving you this moment right now. You're hearing the gospel. You have the opportunity to come to him and trust in him. Give him your life. This is your moment. If you've fallen away from Christ, you're not living your life for him, you're putting it all on you, this is your moment to repent. Say, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to trust in God because he's given me this moment. We're going to pray. To God be the glory. God, thank you for this time that we get to hear your word, that we get to worship you. It's heavy. Your word's heavy on us because we want to hold glory. I want to hold glory. And I know that as much as I have good intentions right now, that by the end of the day, I'm going to be selfish again. I'm thinking of all the ways that I've been selfish this morning. God, I pray that you'd help us release this desire for our own glory, this desire to worship shadow glories, and that we would look towards you. Give us wisdom. May your spirit move, and everyone watching and listening, that right now we would have places in our life that we would see and say, this is not pointing towards God, and this is causing me such tension and turmoil and brokenness. And I want peace. I want shalom. I want completeness. Help us to point those things towards you. God, give us the boldness to ask you to show us what areas in my life am I not pointing towards you. Help us to worship you, Jesus. We know that you have come to give us life, that you've come to set us free from this rat race of glory seeking. May we turn all glory to you, God. In all the ways my words fail to explain that, I pray that your spirit would move and speak to us. Jesus, we ask that you would return and make all things right. Thank you for your love for us. Amen.